All righty, welcome back to the Tank Me Later podcast, which is part of the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. I am your host, Noah Rubin, and today we've got a fun draft we're going to be doing. I've got two dynasty geniuses that are joining me to do a little draft with just the 2021 through 2023 classes. So let's go ahead and get into it. As I said, a fun draft and two dynasty geniuses with me. It doesn't get much better than this. We've got Hudson and we've got Harley. You can find Hudson at Upside NBA and Harley at Harlos underscore. Hudson, I'm going to start with you. How are you?
Thanks, Noah. Good. Thank you. And thanks for having me back. Really keen to get into this. Definitely pretty enthused by the players we're covering, some really interesting names, interesting talents, guys with upside that haven't quite hit the mark yet due to some of the recency of the draft picks. So yeah, pretty keen to discuss and see what you guys have to say on some of these guys.
Yeah, definitely. It'll be pretty interesting to see what strategy all of us take. I mean, it's not like we're building a full fantasy team, but as far as what guys we prefer, whether we're going like the players that have already shown a little bit versus the upside guys. Before we do that, Harley, how are you?
Yeah, going well. I think it's like been touched on. It's an extremely exciting few draft classes here. So, yeah, keen to pick some guys.
Yeah. Well, we'll go ahead and get into that for the sake of time, keeping this at about an hour because we're going to be going through 14 rounds. I'm going to go ahead and pull up our little draft board, this very dynamic, intricate it's too early for me to think of other synonyms that probably make more sense, but it's a very pretty draft board we have here straight through this Excel spreadsheet. So if you're watching, you can follow along with the picks. We're going to go through 14 rounds, three of us. That makes 42 picks through these three drafts. So it should be pretty fun. We should get through all of the like very top tier guys and get into, I wouldn't say, obscure names, but see kind of where we go with that, because there could be guys that are on my board that aren't on your board. There could be guys that are drafted in round 10 that I don't have on my board. So it should be pretty interesting to see how this goes, but we'll go ahead and get started. Surprise, surprise. I'm going to take Victor Wembanyama if you guys are okay with that, with my first pick. I don't think any sort of fantasy draft should have anybody other than Wemby taken first. Whether it's a redraft, whether it's dynasty, like he's the guy in fantasy now. I mean, that's just what we're going to have to get used to for the next 15 years. Not much more to say here. Hudson, who do you got for your first pick?
I'll take Wemby Light, and I'll just jump on Chet right here. I think some similar categories that Chet hits, similar to Vic. Obviously, you're going to have a different level of usage, but yeah, it's a bit of a no-brainer.
Yeah. And Harley, you have two picks back to back, so we're going to snake this back around. Who are you going with?
I'm going to go with Cade with my first pick. Also, I appreciate your bravery typing these in and not copying and pasting him from somewhere else.
That probably would have been smarter.
And then I'll go Scotty Barnes. A couple of guys I feel pretty confident with that'll provide value for a while. Was really hoping that either Chet or Vic were going to slide, but yeah, I was pretty optimistic that was going to happen.
Yeah. Alrighty. We can keep this thing going. Hudson, who do you have for your next pick?
Yeah, like the picks, Harley. I thought this would be really easy. Then when you sat in front of it, doesn't matter whether it's a mock or not, you kind of like question yourself. Look, I think I have to go J-Dub here, Jalen Williams from the Thunder. Keep the Thunder stack rolling. That's next for me.
Yeah. What do you like about Jalen Williams?
I think there's more. I think he's got more to show, more to give. I think we mentioned in our last conversation on this podcast, Noah, that like the usage factor in OKC is pretty sewn up a lot of talent there. Chet's going to get more looks this year and stuff. But I just think Jalen, I think he's going to become more consistent this year, I suspect. I owned him in redraft last year, which gave me a bit of an insight into him. And he was pretty disappointing, honestly, as a guy to own at the start of the year. But the way he finished the year was back to his best. I think the shooting improves. I think he gets his hands on the ball more. And I like the defensive numbers as well to pair with Chet. He brings the steals up a little bit. So I think that's the reason I take Jalen over my other option there that I was looking at.
Yeah. No, the defensive numbers are definitely very enticing when you look at them. This makes it actually pretty easy for me just based off my big board because my number four player is still available with Evan Mobley. And that's what I'm going to go with my first one. I'm never going to give up hope on Evan Mobley. He's still going to eventually be like a top. I mean, that's incredibly obvious. I don't even want to say that number, but he's still going to eventually be a very, very good fantasy player. I don't think that he's going to play with Jared Allen for his entire career. So
yeah,
we're gonna see what happens with him, and it's gonna be really, really good. I'm just too optimistic to let him slide further than that. And apparently, I'm gonna keep it rolling with the centers, just based off my pre this draft big board. Alperen Şengün is who I'm gonna go with here. So thankfully, this isn't any sort of team building draft where we're looking for specific positions. I'm just gonna go with best available. I'm going to go with the best guy in Houston and baby Jokic. The upside there is tremendous. And yeah, I mean, he's so freaking good.
Oh, that's good. We don't have to worry about positions because I was scanning next. That's really good. Now I can just rip into my pre-draft order. Look, next I'm actually going to take Brandon Miller. A guy I was probably a little low on coming into last year, but I'm not stupid. I've seen the truth. That's next for me.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. Harley, you've got two back-to-back. You are on the clock.
I'll go with a bit of a disappointment in his first season. We'll go with Scoot Henderson here. Still believe in him long-term massively. A bit of a slow one out of the blocks. And then I'll follow that up with Franz Wagner as well. I just think he's a decent contributor across the board, so it's a pretty safe pick.
Yeah, both tremendously high upside guys. I'm also banking on the Scoot second year bounce back and that he's not just actually bad at basketball. I just don't think that's the case. Hudson, you are on the clock now for your round four pick.
I just think from a pure production perspective here, I think it's insane not to take Paolo here. There's definitely some weaknesses in his fantasy game, but just the production's real and he's only going to get better. Super fluid with the ball, 6'10", maybe 6'11", one of the best frames in the game. So, yep.
Yeah. Should I make it three Magic players in a row by going Jalen Suggs? I mean, I'm kidding. I'm not going to. I was just asking. No. But,
a little early, but it'd be fun. I'd back you. Oh, I love him. You know that. So I wouldn't hate you for it.
Wow. Yeah, no, that would be just tremendously early, but I'm going to go ahead and get a different Jalen and get Jalen Johnson, who...
Yeah, I love that.
I mean...
Yeah, next on my board, Noah, so good on you.
Yeah, so I mean, that's what he was for me as well. Obviously, just had one very big year, but I think he projects to continue to be even better this year moving forward. Hopefully, he's able to be healthy, because I know he had a few injuries last year, but he'll continue to develop. Playing alongside Trae Young certainly makes life a little bit easier for him. And then for my next pick, I'm going to get another Houston Rocket, and I'm going to get Amen Thompson. I'm going to get one of the Thompson twins. He's also was able to show quite a few flashes his rookie year, specifically with really good rebounding numbers and really good defensive numbers for a guard. He's incredibly athletic. I mean, yeah, he's just going to, if he can figure out the shot at all, I think there was the videos that I saw within the last week or so of him working on his shot, and it doesn't look good at all. It looks like they're working on it, but it looks rigid. But if he's able to improve the shot to not be totally bad, then the sky's the limit for him. So, but we'll keep it pushing with you, Hudson.
Yeah. I'm just played around with my board. I think just on upside alone, looking at my team, I probably need a bit more juice there. So I'm going to go with the twin brother there, Orsar. One thing that Orsar did that Armin should look to develop is just like a bit of a mid-range kind of like jump shot slash, I don't know what you want to call it. It was a weird pull-up sort of fade shot just by using pure athleticism. And I think he started to show signs of that as the season went on. I think our men just needs to learn that next, learning how to leverage his athleticism and that bounce in the, it just like closer to the basket to give himself a bit of leverage that isn't just finishing at the rim when he definitely can't shoot. I think Orsar has that, and obviously they've got the stock upside, both of them, with that athleticism and just the way they never stop moving. They're just constantly moving. The motor is just insane on both of them. So I'm actually going to, jump on Orsar there.
Definitely, and I'm sure both Detroit and Houston are thrilled to have themselves a Thompson twin after their 100%. Rookie year. Harley, you are on the clock for back-to-back picks.
I felt for sure I was going to get at least one of those guys. I was like, I'll get a twin. Doesn't matter which one, I'll take one of them. You snipe both. I'll go Jaden Ivey. I like his athleticism, and I think he really showed out when Cade wasn't there with his assists as well. Just someone who can score, pass the ball. It's kind of exciting for me. And then I've got to get a big man. I'll go Jabari Smith. I know I'm not sure on him. On our last podcast, we did Noah, but
yeah,
there's still upside there. And he's got the skills. He just needs to put it together.
Definitely. That's sorry, because I know Hudson and I spent a good bit of time talking about Jaden Ivey as well. So this sounds like it's a pro Jaden Ivey podcast, which is always a lot of fun. Hudson, we'll keep it pushing with you.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's like 14 sort of spots earlier than I was going to even take Jaden Ivey. So I'm pretty intrigued by that. So there's a bigger Ivey fan than me in the chat, which we love to
see. You've got to reclaim the throne.
Yeah. Which makes interesting my next pick. Again, I'm looking at my board, which I did a few hours ago, and I'm going, why did I do that? But I will just jump on Jalen Green. Whether or not he's at Houston forever, I think the first step is electric. I think the jump shot, we saw what he could do that he put together at the back end of last year for patches there. So whether it's at Houston or not, whether he's that guy, I think whenever he's given the keys eventually, I think the talent alone makes him serviceable in fantasy down the line. I think and I'm happy with that there as well, banking on some upside there with that athleticism and the rest of it.
Yeah, I mean, if he can continue to play like he did for that stretch at the end of last season, then this could end up as a steal. But I think that's kind of the thing, is he has been able to do that very consistently. But
yeah, it's a gamble, there. Yeah.
So, all right, cool. So I'm on the clock, and my next two guys are still there. I'm going to go with Derek Lively for this first one. Not, you know, like, he was very good as a rookie. I guess he's more of a traditional center, not a ton of, compared to some of the other centers that have already been drafted, not quite as dynamic, but still in a good situation where he's going to get easy looks from Luka Doncic for the majority of his career, as long as he's there. And he was very good as a rookie. Yeah, very safe pick. And then for my next one, I'm going to go with Trey Murphy, who...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the talent is just too much for me to pass up. And I'm still just praying that they trade Brandon Ingram so Trey Murphy can start. But even if they trade Brandon Ingram, he might still come off the bench. So we'll see. But the talent is just, it's just there. So I'm assuming that within the next couple of years, he's a starter somewhere, hopefully in New Orleans, maybe somewhere else. But he's been fantastic in fantasy whenever he's gotten the minutes. So that's why I went with Murphy.
Yeah, I love Trey Murphy. That's the first time our boards have really deviated a lot. I just think that's really interesting. I also was deviating. Our boards are super similar, like, is what I've noticed, but your pick of Mobley that early was different to me. And then, but it made total sense, your justification. Then Trey Murphy was a little bit earlier. Look, there's some names I should take in front of this person, but I'm just going to do it. I'm going to take Jalen Suggs next. I think we've seen the way he contributes to a fantasy team is like serviceable, and I think he can get a little more efficient. I think eventually as well, I think that we'll see some potential, a little more contributing across like the other sort of categories that he hasn't hit the mark on yet. I think he can eventually be a bit more serviceable of actually a lead guard possibly.
Yeah.
So I'm banking on that as a gamble.
Yeah. He had so much upside out of college. I thought he was going to be able to do a lot more than what he's shown, but upside's still there. So maybe it happens. Harley, you are on the clock and you have back-to-back picks and you're the only one without, you're the only team without a Jalen. Just pointing that out there. Not saying you have to take a Jalen. Not saying there even is a Jalen available still. I haven't double checked that. I'm sure there is. But you are on the clock.
I'll save a Jalen later on if he makes it somewhere next round. We should have done a full Jalen draft.
Yeah.
I'll go Josh Giddey. I think his move should really help him. And it sort of gives him a lot more opportunity on the offensive end as well. Hopefully his limits aren't limited by his defense. But I think it's just a different situation. I don't think they're so defensive structured that it's going to affect him too much. And then next pick, it's sort of another safe one. I'll just go Keegan Murray. I feel like at this point, it's pretty good value to have him in here. Sort of gives me some threes, decent defender, and does a little bit of everything.
Yeah, no, he was highest on my board next, so that's a good one. Hudson, you are on the clock.
Yeah, it's a good pick there. I think I'm going to keep trending in the same direction and going with guys with crazy ceilings just here in the draft here. So I'm going to jump on Shaedon Sharpe here, Noah. Oh, I still believe in it. The athleticism's bizarre. Like, he's just got the craziest athleticism. I think, there's enough there that, you know, like the wingspan, he's a really good frame. The shooting's been thereabouts. Like, I'm not disheartened by what I've seen from him. If anything, I think there's a real player there. So I'm going to go with the ceiling on Shaedon Sharpe.
Yeah, no, that is a good one. Let's see. I guess I'll go with just trying to stick to my board a little bit, even though I don't love this. Maybe I'll defer from my board a little bit. I'm going to go with Mark Williams for my first one.
Oh, interesting.
Obviously, the back is a concern, and it will continue to be a concern. Or just like his injury history in general, because I think he's played 62 games through 2 years, and Charlotte does not report injuries at all. So that's frustrating, but since this is our little draft, not a actual fantasy league, I have no problem taking Mark Williams because the upside is still tremendous. And then I was going to take – I'm going to take Tari Eason here. We were talking about this a little bit before we started, talking about Tari Eason coming off an injured season, but rookie year, he played 82 games. The defensive numbers are incredible. If he can continue to improve offensively and just see minutes in Houston, then, yeah, I mean, he's going to be so good. So I'm also collecting Houston Rockets. I think you guys took most of the other good ones, but there are still a few left for me to maybe snag here later on. But Hudson, you are on the clock.
I think your reasoning with Tari's pretty spot on. He's just a guy that impacts the game, right? Like, mm-hmm. I think if things break his way, he'll get a lot of minutes and he's just going to contribute in various ways, invariably over a season, and just a really good guy to have. I'm really glad I own him in my home league. So I think that's a great pick. A bit earlier than I would have taken him, actually. But yeah, I think my board, I can see it's a bit haphazard the second half. So we're going to like roll the punches. I want to take a guy I thought you were going to take. So, but I feel like I should stick to my board just due to there being a gap here. Yeah, I'm just going to... I don't know what to do here. I don't know whether to have fun or just follow my board.
My advice would be to have fun. That's what I want to do on this podcast. So please.
Look, okay, I'm going to go deviate from my board here just for a bit of fun. I'm going to actually take... Oh, there's two guys. I'm just going to take Jonathan Kuminga. I've been diving into Jonathan Kuminga this week, and there's like pretty strong evidence in the advanced stats that he's improving. So he actually like has like, you know, above average like win contributions for a guy like his age in a team that, you know, has pretty big personalities and stuff like that. And that was like his numbers last year were also on average playing under 30 minutes still. So yeah, we saw that scoring upside. Obviously, there's some of the IQ stuff is a bit questionable. And I just think the athleticism is enough. The length is enough. And yeah, if he's ever given a role that suits his appetite, I think he could, yeah, be an interesting contributor. But to me, it's just, again, it's similar to Shaedon Sharpe, similar to Orsar and Jalen Green, the guys I've picked recently. It's just all about that sky-high ceiling, just going for it and having fun with it.
Yeah, I like that one. Was that who you thought I was going to take, or was that?
I did think you were going to take him. I don't know. I did think. I don't know why.
No, that's fine. It wasn't who I was going to take. I was just curious about that. But Harley, you are now up with two picks.
I'll take a Jalen.
Okay.
Jalen Darren from Detroit. I don't know if I've got any Jalens other than him to pick, to be honest. And I mean, I was hoping to take Kuminga, to be honest, but now that's off the board. Let's go Benedict Mathurin. I'm not loving that, but I feel like it's okay at this point. Lock it in.
Yeah,
I'm loving that because that means I get my guy. So I get Cam Whitmore here. So same story as all my other picks. You know me, I'm going for these just super dynamic athletes, guys that have enough of one skill that should keep them sniffing around relativity until the rest of their game develops. That's sort of like, I guess, one of the pillars of like my strategy if I'm looking to have fun in a dynasty league, for example. If it's not like a big cash league, is like, well, is there something that keeps them in and around game time? Then do they have something that's like, if they, you know, if they're not a high skill player, so let's look at like a Reed Shepard. If they're not a high skilled guy necessarily, do they have something that keeps them sniffing around? And on top of that, that crazy, like some crazy athleticism or length or size or some other contributive factor like that. So Cam Whitmore lines with my Jonathan Kuminga, and you can see the rest of the trend here. So super happy to get him. Thank you, Harley.
He was the guy I was like tossing the coin between pretty much.
It's a risk. You've got a nice team. I've got an insane. My team is just rocks or diamonds. So you're playing smart. I'm playing for fun.
If we had all of our teams do a dunk contest, I'm pretty sure, like, just depth wise, Hudson would definitely win. He's got like all these freaking athletic players.
Lose fantasy, which is what this is about.
Nah, who cares about that? When last round, I was thinking about taking Jalen Duren, so that's I wasn't trying to intentionally prevent Harley from getting a Jalen, but it just but it worked out.
He was the guy on my board too. I had other guys after. Like, he was the best guy to get, but I just had to have fun with my wings.
Yeah, that's why I didn't want to go two bigs back to back after how many bigs I've taken. Even though I said like we don't care about positions, I don't know, just didn't want to because
bigs are just weird being so lopsided. You're like, oh, I feel like I have to get a big now. I'm like missing that in my team.
I don't even have a 1 point guard.
You got some guys that can play point guard, I guess. But we'll put Paolo at point for you. That'll work out really well.
100%.
I'm going to go with an undrafted guy here.
That's fun. I'm going to go with
Austin Reaves.
Nice one.
When we were talking before, Hudson, you mentioned like, I forgot to – or I'm going to forget about somebody undrafted. I was like, man, I said undrafted guys were available and then totally forgot to put the undrafted guy that I put that reasoning in for on my board. And then I remembered. I was like, I can grab Austin Reaves, who's
nice.
Going to be really good for the Lakers and is going to continue to be there for a while. So not the high upside pick, but I really like him. And for this next one, I'm going to go with Brandon Podziemski. From Golden State. Pods. Ooh, cricket. So I guess maybe I didn't steal anybody's pick, but should be the starter there this year. And I think that he's going to kind of be there in the backcourt for a little while. There was just a report yesterday. They want him to shoot 8 to 10 threes a game. They don't, which I mean, I seriously doubt that happens. I think he shot like 3 per game last year, but if he gets anywhere close to that, then sure. Like that'll be fun. And they also held on to him because they didn't want to they wanted to keep him instead of trading for Lowry Markkanen. Like they said, he was untouchable in that. And not saying this is the same situation, but about a decade ago, the Warriors held on to Klay Thompson instead of trading for Kevin Love. And that was like a thing. So just saying, the Warriors have held on to shooting guards instead of trading for star forwards in the past, and it's worked out pretty well. So I'm gonna take Podziemski here, Hudson. You are back up.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think Reaves and Podziemski totally like the right smart picks, but to me, they're so boring. So I'm going to jump on another guy that probably makes no sense here. And I don't know how I've ended up with this trio, but I'm going to take Cason Wallace. So more thunder down under, mate.
Well, he's not going to help you with your dunk contest team, but
he's not. But I think he's got some upside to give. I think he's got the game to develop, you know, the Kentucky thing. So I'm a believer, as we spoke about.
100%.
Yeah, I like that Casey Wallace pick.
Great
defender. And like you said, a lot of upside comes from Kentucky. Yep. So there's extra upside in there somewhere.
Somewhere, yeah. Tyrese Maxey effect. I can't believe it.
Yeah. Also love the Austin Reeves. That was like right under my radar. Didn't even think about him at all. I'll go back to boring. That's the excitement of Casey Wallace. We'll go Walker Kessler.
Mm. Yeah, nice.
I feel like that's good value at this point. Just getting those blocks in. Jalen Duren, doesn't really get as many blocks as I thought he was going to get, to be honest. I don't think he's averaged one this season yet.
It's not good, yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand. He just looks like a sort of guy that would be blocking like two or three shots a game.
Sorry, Harley. I was just on Jalen Duren. I think that athleticism's not quite, like, he doesn't pop the way it sort of did in college when he was so big. I think he's actually like, he looks 6'10". Like, he doesn't look like a true 7-footer out there. He's got a mad wingspan, but to me, he's just not quite that big unit. And I just feel like his positioning's a bit awkward. His footwork's not like ideal. Like, he's great at like throwing down an alley-oop every now and again, and the rebounding's sick because he's just so big. But I'm with you, man, as an owner and a believer originally. Yeah, I'm worried that there's a world he fades from he sort of becomes like not the main guy eventually in Detroit. I think that's definitely, that's a world. I'm not saying it's real and it's going to happen. I just think I've definitely changed some of my Duren sort of views just watching him play and whatnot. See how things go. But yeah, I'm with you, man. It's devastating that a guy so athletic with such a wingspan and who had all this juice defensively isn't actually blocking any darn shots, which is what we need in Ninecat.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, potentially he's just like setting himself up for the rebound and he's like, I won't get the block, but I'll definitely get this rebound. So, I don't know.
Yeah, and like you say, it could just be youth. It could just be youth and development. He might time things better as things go on, you know, figure out how to play it. But yeah, it's upsetting.
Yeah, he's definitely got it in his DNA. We'll just see if he realizes it or not. I've got two guys who are exciting, and I think they'll make it to me on my next round. So I'll go someone who's also exciting and is a little bit unproven, Dyson Daniels. I just like the idea of Dyson Daniels. I don't know if it's ever going to be completely realized, but what he can potentially do is really, really cool. We'll just see if he ever gets the minutes consistently to actually do it.
Oh, I like that. That's definitely an area. That's definitely up my alley, that one, Harley. I think Dyson is a fascinating prospect. Probably doesn't do enough in the ancillary if he doesn't develop some sort of shot. That's the only thing with him. But just the defense, his like fluidity defensively, what he can do is just amazing. So he's kind of like a taller, longer kind of Jalen Suggs in a way, but he doesn't have the shot and doesn't have some of the other bits and pieces. But just in what I mean by Jalen Suggs is the sense that he's going to earn game time by being so good at defense in that sense, that point of attack defense. But he needs to learn how to score the ball better, I think, to eventually be super relevant. I could be wrong. I'm happy to be corrected, Noah, if you've got a different sort of scout or eval on Dyson currently. But yeah, I love him. You nailed it, Harley. Like, the idea of an actualized Dyson Daniel is one of the coolest fantasy prospects out there.
Yeah.
So I get that. I will stray from being an idiot and just draft next best available for me. I've got Jarris Walker here. I think he's just a fascinating player. I think similar to Dyson, in the sense of what he is actualized, is a really cool basketball player. In the sense that super dynamic kind of defensive athleticism. He can, like, I've seen him handle the ball. I've seen him hit pull up jump shots at times, like flashes, obviously. So I think what he presents at his like height with that wingspan and I think a basketball IQ there I think in the G League, Noah, correct me if I'm wrong on both my Dyson Daniels piece and Jairus Walker G League performance last year. They had some pretty epic kind of like lines and runs. I could be a bit wrong there. And I just think being having someone potentially like Siakam to sort of develop with and then play off Tyrese Halliburton is enticing to me. So pretty happy with the value on Jairus there.
Yeah, from what I remember, there was at least a handful of really good G League performances. So I think you're right on that. And then for Dyson, I agree. I think my optimism comes from Trae Young is going to get him some pretty open looks, I would think. So he, even if he doesn't develop a ton offensively, if he's able to develop as just knocking down catch and shoot opportunities, like he'll have space playing next to Trae Young. Like he's gotten open looks for guys that just aren't, you know, floor spacers and end up being pretty decent shooters because he passes them open. So all Dyson Daniels has to do is knock down open looks, in my opinion. And that'll keep him on the floor enough along with the defense where he can maybe work through other sorts of developments offensively. But yeah, the idea of Dyson Daniels has been a fun one for a while, and I'm excited about this opportunity for him in Atlanta.
I'm glad it's not just an Australian thing where it's just like, oh, only Aussies like Dyson Daniels. Everyone likes Dyson Daniels.
Everyone likes Dyson Daniels. You're weird if you don't like Dyson Daniels. I think that's the way it should be.
You talk about knocking down open threes, like, dude, like back-to-back years of sub, you know, 3.315%. So for he's sure. Like below 32%. That's what I'm saying. I guess what I'm saying, guys, is like, I get the new opportunity is way better for him in the sense that he's the foil to Trae Young not being able to defend. And Trae Young can open up like, you know, the passing with the gravity of Trae on the pick and roll. There's going to be like backdoors and all sorts of other areas. We just need to see the shot, I think, guys. Like, I think I don't know how dynamic he is beyond like what's his like creation ability and stuff. So I want to see it because I really like him. And like he just hasn't had the minutes, has he, to show us beyond. We don't know. I don't know what he can do as a secondary guard with more minutes. We just don't know. So I'm really interested to see. But yeah, the percentages on that, on your point, Noah, not that promising just yet.
For sure. Hopefully he'll like the opportunity, like it'll just be like he's another year of the NBA, another offseason. Like he just improves as a shooter just based off putting in the work for it. But also Trae Young being the best passer that he's played with, I'm hoping that improves his shot quality. And that's not me having the analysis to say he's been taking bad threes or anything like that, because
I haven't
done that research, but maybe it'll help him.
And also, to your point as well, rhythm. I think when you're playing bigger minutes, you are getting a bit more consistency, rhythm. You're in the game for longer. You're amongst the crowd. All those little factors that do impact players. I think you're going to get a little more embedded. And hopefully, he just needs to get to sort of 33 this year, trend up, and we'll see what happens.
For sure.
The Dyson Daniel hour. Sorry, guys.
No, this is what happens every time I do a podcast with Keen. Now is we can just talk about Dyson Daniels for like half the podcast or whatever, way longer than we should. We've been shortening it because I think we just kind of repeat our same points now, but we're both on the same page that it's Dyson Daniels season. But for the sake of not talking about Dyson Daniels anymore, I'm going to go ahead and keep it going. I still have two guys left that were pretty high on my board. I'm gonna go Keontae George here, who had a really good rookie year. I think the plan right now is for him to be the point guard of the future. We'll see if that continues, but man, he's such a good scorer. And if he can continue to improve as a playmaker, I'm happy with the upside. And I'm actually going to go with a second straight Jazz player here and go with Taylor Hendricks, pretty similar to Jairus Walker in being a well-rounded forward that can play defense, get defensive numbers, and stretch the floor. I think I like individually as a player, I like Hendricks just a touch more than Jairus Walker, but I think they're pretty synonymous really at this point. And both are in situations where they're not necessarily guaranteed a ton of minutes. I think that the path for Hendricks is a little bit more open as of now, but I mean, they're both talented enough that it should come pretty soon.
Yeah, makes sense. Good picks. I don't know how I end up keep doing this. This is just getting stupid, but I'm going to take Bilal Coulibaly here. He's next, and I'm just going to grab him, man. Fuck it.
Nice.
Just pure upside, like pure juice. Like, this is the stupidest thing. But if he develops into anything, it's crazy what he could be from a statistic perspective.
Yeah, I agree entirely. I don't remember exactly where I had him, but I'm pretty sure I would have taken him with my last one if he was still there. Because, yeah, the upside is tremendous. But, Harley, you are on the clock for your last two picks.
I'll go supreme upside. I don't know if it's on this team. I'll go Usman Yang from OKC. I am a big fanboy of this guy.
That's a huge swing. Oh, I love it.
Just watching him in G League, it's just like, this guy dominates. Why is he not playing NBA?
Like a 7-foot point guard, potentially. Like, it's crazy. But yeah, it just isn't like a real thing yet. But
And then they play him for like 2 minutes in the fourth quarter at the end. I'm like, man, he's just getting burnt here on the bench. But I should have picked him last as like the ultimate, like, the high upside guy. Because the next guy's like the most boring low upside guy. I've my whole team. Jaime Jaquez Jr. Just someone who, like, just made the most of the opportunity, to be honest. I didn't think he was going to do that well in the Heat. But he's been, undeniably in the Rookie of the Year race last year. And just the stark contrast between him and Jang is wild.
It's epic. You've, like, fully balanced. Like, you've got the old guy that probably doesn't have much more to give and gone and got, like, the craziest pick. Like, that Jang isn't even on my board, dude. That's amazing. I love it. That's like me taking Jaden Hardy right now, which is just ridiculous, which I'm not going to do because I'm stupid.
Oh, I thought that was your nice segue right there. It's like me taking Jaden Hardy. No. Oh, by the way, Jaden Hardy.
No, I do see a little bit in Jaden Hardy, but I'm not that crazy. I'm going to do, just to win favor with Noah after he's won me over, and I'm going to take Kobe Bufkin with my last pick. Yeah.
Win favor with me and take my guy.
Yeah.
That hurts.
Yeah.
But I wasn't actually going to take him, so that's fine with me.
There's a lot of good guys left.
Left me with too many guys on my my top 42. So that's...
There's so much, like, interesting stuff here.
Yeah, we'll have to go through maybe a few guys that just missed the cut.
Honorable mentions.
Yeah. I'm going to defer from my board for fun, and I'm going to wrap up with Cam Thomas.
Really?
Interesting. To get a lot of points. That's it. He's going to, if this was an actual fantasy team, he is tanking our field goal percentage, but we're going to get some points this year and next year. And then after that, who knows what's going to happen? Probably like 15 a game for the rest of his career off the bench. Yeah, but
six man microwave gamble. I thought you were going to take GG Jackson as your, like, upside punt late.
Yeah, he was outside my top 42, but
yeah, he's outside mine. I thought you might just reach down and have a laugh with him because he's just got that interesting, upside.
Yeah, I don't even feel good about this Cam Thomas pick now. I should have just stuck with my board, but Harley, we'll start with you. Is there anybody left on your board or a next best available, some sort of honorable mention, like a player or two, or if you want to talk about more than that, that's fine. Some players that didn't get drafted that you thought should have been.
I'll bring up a couple. For Anthony Black, I really liked him coming out of the draft as just someone who was, like, very good defensively, decent ball handler, could pass a little bit as well, and just struggled scoring. And he's still so young, so I think massive upside for him there. And then sort of the opposite end of the scale, Bryce Sensabaugh, who was, like, only a scorer, just someone who I think if you can score, you've got a spot in the NBA somewhere. It's just, what else can he develop along the way?
Yeah. Hudson, do you have a couple guys that you think should have been drafted or that you would have drafted if you had more picks?
Yeah, I just in response to Harley's nailed it. I love Anthony Black, yeah. And I get the Bryce Sensabaugh thing too. But yeah, Ant Black, I think we spoke about Noah the other week. Definitely like what he could potentially be. But yeah, when the scoring's not there, it gets a bit scary in the modern NBA. I don't know. This is a hairy part of my board here. I do like the long-term fantasy prospects of Len Miller. So I think if it's running a bit deeper, maybe if there was another team and I had to take a swing, I would jump on Leonard Miller soon in a draft. Another guy I think is going to be pretty like weirdly relevant for the next few years, one way or another, is Chase Jackson Davis. I think he's a guy that is just going to contribute in one way or another, maybe just a 20-minute a night guy, but I think he's going to contribute. I'm probably a bit high on Trace. I don't know why. I just sort of think he's a guy like pretty good in college, as we know. And I think that will, I think he'll continue to like contribute in the NBA somehow. Another guy that's showing the signs that I thought he'd show earlier but hasn't is Jake LaRavia. I think he's starting to trend in potentially the right direction. Two sort of more seasoned guys that I would pick if this ran a bit deeper would be Herb Jones eventually, and finally seeing life from my guy Miles McBride. Just love those hard-nosed point guards that you can tell with the Jalen Suggs love. I think Miles McBride's slowly starting to do his thing in the NBA. So there's some names that I still have my eye on here.
I love Brandon Miller. That's like, I would have taken him probably in the next few picks. It's just the upside there is crazy. And I can't believe he's not getting any opportunity at all with the NBA. Like, I felt for
sure. They're too stacked, man. They're way too stacked. Like, he doesn't do what, you know, I think because he can't stretch the floor even to the extent. Like, well, obviously, what's his face? He's like the best wing defender in the game. And so McDaniels. So it's like he can kind of stretch the floor. So all of a sudden, Miller's kind of redundant. And then you've got Kat, and then who can play four. And then you've got what's his face off the bench, the sixth man of the year. So he's just completely frozen out until he, you know what I mean? So he probably needs to go elsewhere. But it's crazy what he could do if he does get time.
I hated where he went. Like,
just brutal. Hey, like,
so much potential. And I was like, oh, there it goes down the drain. I still like picked him late in the draft, just hoping, please move him or please something happen. And then, couldn't just get anything.
No, I don't know if he'll see much. Hey, like, he'd take an injury or a couple of injuries, I think, just the way they're stacked in both those positions. Yeah. And then you've got even Josh Minot, I think, was getting a bit of run ahead of him potentially last year as well, who is another guy that I don't know. I was a bit too high on Minot just because I like those like long wings for the stocks. But I don't know if Minot's going to like actually actualize. But he's a guy that was a little bit above Leonard in the pecking order last year too. So, yeah, just tough look for Leonard.
Yeah, they do. Kyle Anderson, with him being in Golden State now, that'll open up a couple of minutes for either Minot or Miller to kind of return to the rotation, or maybe I don't even want to say return to the rotation, make a debut in the rotation and see 10 minutes and maybe earn some playing time off of that. But just throwing out a few more names that I had that didn't get drafted was Jeremy Sochan, who still has a good bit of upside, but just hasn't really been great for 9-cat leagues so far. But I still believe in the upside. Herb Jones, I didn't take him because it wasn't as fun, because we know exactly what he is, but I wanted to take more of the upside guys. Noah Clowney from Brooklyn, who I think had a really good stretch end last season and should get even more playing time this year. And I think a guy that can block shots and hit threes like him, that's a lot of fun. And then one other guy, and this might be more of just like another swing here that I had in my top 42. And I'm looking back, I'm like, why did I do that? But Isaiah Jackson from Indiana is like another guy that can block shots and hit threes. And can't get minutes. I seem to really like those guys, apparently. But
yeah, I think we all love those bigs that just look like they can rack up blocks. Hey, like, it's just really addictive when you like play 9-cat to just see that block count when they have those weird games where they get like 4 to 5 blocks in like 20 minutes. You're like, oh my God, this guy's a stud, but really they don't have enough skills or enough to contribute to a team to ever be relevant. But we hang on as diehard, you know, fantasy degenerates in deep leagues where we like go, well, this guy, if there's an injury and he gets a start, he's going to give me 5 stocks, you know, a game. It's like, yeah, we continue to like, we remember the the dopamine of like the high stock game and realize that he's actually not really a good player. Don't get me wrong, I don't hate Isaiah Jackson. I definitely have him here as well. But yeah, he's one of those guys where he needs to. I just think that those kind of guys are coach killers, hey, where they just like don't do enough and they make potentially too many mistakes. But he's still pretty young, so there's still some juice to be squeezed from that spot there.
He'll have five games a year where he doesn't get called for fouls. He just gets the blocks, and then that's what it is. But go ahead, Hartley, sorry.
I was going to say, he's such a tease because you're like, it's there. It's there. He has those games where he gets the blocks, and it's like, oh, now there's getting fouls as well. It's almost like Jaren Jackson a little bit in terms of the different sort of level of player. But Jaren Jackson's just like, man, he can shoot threes, he can block shots, he's amazing. And then he just gets a couple of fouls, and you're like, man, okay, there goes his night. And then there goes my week matchup.
Yeah. Just for those listening, I'm just going to go ahead and run through our teams real quick. So my team is Victor Wembanyama, Evan Mobley, Alperen Şengün, Jalen Johnson, Amen Thompson, Derek Lively, Trey Murphy, Mark Williams, Tari Eason, Austin Reeves, Brandon Pajemski, Keontae George, Taylor Hendricks, Cam Thomas, Chet Holmgren, Jalen Williams, Brandon Miller, Paolo Banchero, Asar Thompson, Jalen Green, Jalen Suggs, Shaden Sharp, Jonathan Kuminga, Cam Whitmore, Kaysen Wallace, Jairus Walker, Bilal Coulibaly, and Kobe Bufkin. And then Hartley has Cade Cunningham, Scotty Barnes, Scoot Henderson, Franz Wagner, Jaden Ivey, Jabari Smith, Josh Giddey, Keegan Murray, Jalen Duren, Benedict Mathurin, Walker Kessler, Dyson Daniels, Usman Jang, and Jaime Jaquez Jr. These are some pretty good teams. Hartley, final thoughts on your team?
I'm a bit jealous of Team Hudson, to be honest. I feel like some of those like high upside swing guys I would have taken if they had gotten to me. And then that sort of set the tone of my team. I was like, you know what? Let's just play it safe. These guys are falling to me anyway. Let's just pick them and see how we end up at the end.
Yep. And Hudson, final thoughts on your team?
I definitely started trying to build a team. So I was like, oh, yeah, Chet, Jalen, Brandon. Then you were like, oh, team build doesn't matter because you went Vic, Evan, and Alperen. So then I just went, well, if we're not doing teams, I'm just going to swing, baby. Let's go. Give me all of the guys that can't actually play but are so cool.
I'm happy with the way my team turned out. I think I went, let's see how many centers I got. Half my team is centers almost, something like that. So, yeah, hopefully it's not actually something that we have to put into a lineup on Yahoo or Fantrax or actually put out to go play a basketball game, because I think my point guard, I guess I could run Amen Thompson at point guard, but in reality it's probably going to end up being Keontae George is my only true point guard. So that's not ideal. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Take Me Later podcast. Fellas, I appreciate you both joining me. If you're watching or listening, you guys give them a follow once again on Twitter at UpsideNBA and at Harlos_. But that's going to do it for this episode, and I will catch you guys next time.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.